Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Hello, Thrivers, and happy Valentine's Day. I'm Heather Choate here with the Thriving Marriage Podcast as I stream live how to end an affair, and specifically, is there hope if my spouse is having an affair? So if you're watching me live, say hi, let me know where you're joining me from, let me know that you can see and hear me okay. I had to change plans and do it on my phone instead of my laptop because it was giving me fits. So I would greatly appreciate if you guys would let me know if you can see and hear me okay, and I'll be doing my best to watch your comments live. So raise your hand if your spouse is having an affair, or you've had an affair, or maybe there's been multiple affairs that have happened and you want to know what to do to heal from this, and especially if there is hope to save things. Okay. All right. Awesome. I've got Patrick from Tennessee. Welcome. So today I'm going to share with you what actually causes affairs and our three-step process to heal an affair. And this has helped tens of thousands of couples now to overcome an affair and heal from any of the pain that has happened due to this and build a better, healthier relationship than they ever had before. Hi, Larry. Hi, Mark. Good to see you guys all. Before we get to that, though, I'm going to share our client win of the week. And this one comes to us with permission from Sherry. She says, I love the PATH, meaning our PATH method. It is definitely worth being perpetually reinforced, reiterated, and permanently imprinted on my brain. My husband's attitude changed almost immediately when I applied the method. When I backed off, stopped clinging, and started listening for understanding, getting focus off of my pain and seeing his, having compassion, has changed his heart toward me. We are talking again, and he is initiating. He is done with the other woman. We are rebuilding step by step. We are going away together next week, his idea. A year ago, he was done. I had just discovered the other woman. He was asking for a divorce. What I'm seeing now is nothing short of a miracle. It's hard to be patient, but for me, it was so worth it. Look up, pray a lot, and by all means, follow the path. So thank you, Sherry, for sharing that with us. And yeah, this is a perfect example of how this method works to be able to heal things from an affair. Now, I asked you guys in our Facebook group here, can a marriage be saved if there's been an affair? Why or why not? And this is a bit of a polarizing topic. There's a lot of people, including my 16-year-old son, who believes that if your spouse cheats, then that's it. The relationship is over. This podcast and this training today is for those that do want to restore the relationship. And even if you're hesitant, and even if you think, you know, if they cheat, then that's it, I'm done, I'm out of there, I really want you to at least listen to the first 15 minutes. Because while it's true that this is a very, you know, obviously heartbreaking and challenging situation, I want you to realize that the studies have shown, and I'm going to share a study here from Psychology Today, that yes, if you have cheated, you are more likely to cheat. That's true. So there's a little bit of truth to the saying, once a cheater, always a cheater. But the interesting thing is, if you have been cheated on, according to Psychology Today, you are three times more likely to be cheated on again. Yeah. Who here never knew that? Who here is surprised by that? Why do you think that happens? Leave a comment. Let me know. Why do you think it happens that if you were cheated on once, you're actually three times more likely to be cheated on in the next relationship? That's the pattern that we want to end. This pattern of infidelity, of getting in one relationship, having them cheat on you, and getting right into another relationship and have them cheat on you again. That is heartbreaking. And the good news is that you can do something about it. So even if for some reason, you know, you're not here because you don't want to save the relationship, your spouse has cheated and you're done, I want you to learn some of the things we're going to teach you so that you aren't cheated on ever again, because that's the heart of the matter. An affair is always a symptom of a deeper issue. Okay. And we're going to dive into that. Yeah. I'm just getting some comments here. You experienced that. You haven't healed yourself from the things that you did to contribute to the affair. Exactly. The same patterns tend to repeat themselves until we learn from them. So simply getting a divorce and saying, I'm done with you, you cheater, I'm going to blah, 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 you know, and finding another person isn't going to fix this situation more often than not. What's really going to fix it is learning how to have a healthy and functional relationship. Okay. And I see some questions. I will definitely answer all of them. If not live, I will definitely go back to them and I answer every single comment. So if you guys have a question, what about this situation? What about this? What if I've tried this? Leave a comment. I will respond to every single comment. Okay. So in the group, there is definitely a lot of different answers, but the one that I did want to share is that yes, the one engaging in the affair is looking for something they were missing. By becoming the best version of yourself that you can be, your partner will be able to see the things that you were missing and can be found in you. And then a lot of you are like, I don't know, right? And all he's seeing right now is how perfect she is. And it's really challenging, right? And the comment here again to that response of all he's seeing is how perfect she is the reality is that every affair is a trade down, never a trade up. Okay. Think about it. A person with the moral fiber that allows them to enter a relationship with someone who is married is a low quality person. The age old saying, if they will cheat with you, they will cheat on you, exists for a reason. You've just got to find the best version of yourself. So I wanted to share that as a highlight because some of you guys get this and some of you see that it's not just about the affair. It's not just about the other person and what they're doing to you right now. It's not just about your spouse and all the choices that they're making. There are things that are happening in the relationship and in the dynamic that can create a cycle of infidelity, whether it's with this spouse or another. And that's what I want to make sure that we address today. So we're going to go into what causes affairs. Then I'm going to share with you our three-step affair healing process, which includes healing the relationship by really healing yourself. Second, how to navigate through the storm, including handling the affair when your partner is being uncooperative. Okay, raise your hand if you've got an uncooperative partner. They're cheating on you and they don't want to end it. They don't want to turn things around. Maybe they're blaming you for the reason that they're having an affair in the first place and they're not willing to work on things. Okay. And then third is repairing and recovering by preventing further damage, building a strong, healthy foundation and ending the affair for good. Now, I mentioned my 16-year-old son. He knows that I help couples. He knows I've been doing this for what, almost 8 years since we founded High Thrive. He knows that this is what we do. And he said, Mom, I just don't get it. Like if someone cheats on you, then that's it. That's the end, right? I just want to say that this topic of infidelity and affairs is deeply personal to me. All right. My husband and I have not had infidelity in our own marriage. So I know that that compassion or empathy can only go so far because I have not been in your shoes myself. However, I've seen it firsthand. And out of protection to those involved, I'm not going to share names or details. But I will say this, that people I love very dearly went through this experience. And it greatly affected me and all of those involved to the point where from a very young age, the thing I feared the most was my partner cheating on me, my husband having an affair. It has been a major fear and created a lot of unnecessary distrust, a lot of unnecessary, you know, that's what fear does. It just creates a monster out of something, right? And I witnessed as this couple was going through this uncovering of the affair and the person that cheated, the man, the husband was not willing to admit it. He was not willing to change. He was not willing to be honest. He wasn't wanting to do any of those things. And I watched as the wife, her heart was ripped to shreds. And that ripped my heart to shreds. And it got to the point where she was suicidal. She even thought about taking her own life because she felt worthless. And she felt like her whole, like, what does it mean if my husband doesn't want me? And if he's off with someone else, right? And I was there with that whole process. And she considered divorcing him. in that moment, she turned, I'm just going to say it. She turned to God, and whether you believe in God or not, but that was the thing that turned her heart around, because she felt from him, from God, that her husband was also his child. He said, he is my son too. And she saw for the first time a little bit of the struggles that her husband had been going through. And she realized the more that she put herself in his shoes and why he was even having this affair, it was really nothing to do with her. It had everything to do with him and some of the anxieties and things that he had not treated in himself that were causing him to do these very destructive behaviors. It didn't make those behaviors okay by any means, but she chose to stick it out with him. And I am deeply grateful that she did, because their marriage is happy and healthy and functional, and it allowed both of them to work on themselves and heal themselves and have a healthy relationship. And that has a ripple effect to your children's lives and to generations to come. So affairs are deeply personal to me, and I want to make sure I handle this topic with care. And I hope that it is of service to you, because what I've seen helping so many couples, as well as witnessing firsthand what affairs and infidelity can do, as well as what it means to actually work through things, and all the numerous couples that we've worked with that have told us that after they healed the affair, and because they chose to stick it out, they are so grateful that they did. Now their relationship is stronger and healthier than it ever was. I want to say that with a bit of a caveat. I'm not saying every single time you should completely stay with your partner, because that's not true. There are some circumstances when it is warranted for the relationship to end, okay? But more often than not, it is to your benefit, to your family's benefit, and to your marriage to work things out, okay? So if that is what you're wanting, you're saying, I still love this person, we need to fix this, and I'm willing to, but my partner is still cheating on me, they're not willing to, that's what I want to talk about today, okay? So the question really is, my dear friends here, will you learn from this situation? The tendency is just to point the finger, to blame, to feel like a victim, you know, and more often than not, what happens when people don't get the right support or they don't want to heal the relationship is that it kind of crushes them, right? It defeats them instead of them defeating the challenge that is before them, right? And so do you want to learn from this challenge? Do you want to learn from some of the things that are happening here? Do you want to take accountability for your part? That's hard, but this is where we are able to grow, okay? And as you do that, you become stronger and better, or you can let this defeat you and make you a smaller, broken, more hard-hearted, more distrusting version of yourself. And I want you to think about where you want to be at the end of your life and how you want to look back at this time in your life and think about the ripple effect that it will have, not only in your life, but your friends, your family, your children, generations, okay? And making sure that we are always taking that time to have perspective on where am I going to go if I continue doing this? Where is this going to lead me? Is that where I really want to be? So if you're brave, and I think you are because you're here and you're watching and you're listening and you're learning, which is awesome. I honor you for that. Then leave it in the chat here. Put it in the chat. How do you want to look back at this time 5 years from now, 30 years from now, at the end of your life? Do you want to learn from this experience and allow it to you? Sorry, getting tongue-tied. Allow it to help you become a better person, or do you want to just let it defeat you? Okay. All right. Now, a little bit of stats on affairs, because I think this is really important. I mentioned the Psychology Today. So the reality is that the odds are heavily against marriages that begin as affair relationships. The divorce rate for ordinary marriages are hard enough, right? Like you've all heard this as much as I have, right? There's a 50% chance that your marriage won't last. But it's even worse for relationships that started from an affair. And the last study I saw about this said that marriages which began as affairs were twice as likely to end in divorce as marriages that didn't begin from affairs. And Mark's quoted other statistics here before in our Thriving Marriage podcast, something like 10 or maybe 12% end up actually working out because they're not built on a healthy foundation. They're built on lies. They're built on distrust. They're built on broken promises. So the reality is that most relationships that start because of an affair have really bad odds. And more often than not, those relationships end and then that person ends up wanting to come back to the person that they cheated on. Okay? Just a bit of stats here, okay? All right. I got some comments here about how you want to look back. So I'm going to read those real quick. I want to look back and see that I began living with my heart wide open. I want to learn from it. I want to learn that I never gave up and tried to work on it. Awesome. I love that. And just because this is just coming up right now, I was digging through our High Thrive archives, okay? And I found this training that we used to charge like $47 for. Called, let's see, where is it? Let me pull it up real quick. How to Get Your Spouse to Stop Having an Affair. If you guys want this training that we used to charge money for, I will give it to you guys completely free. Just leave a comment and say, stop affair in the chat below, and I'll send you this totally free guide. There's no opt-in, nothing crazy. I'll just send you the PDF. I found it so helpful with so much good stuff in it. I really wanted to give it to you guys today. I know that there's a lot here and I can't get through all of it today in just the time I have in the podcast. So I want to make sure that you guys are able to get all of it. So leave a comment, say end affair, and I will get you that totally free guide. All right. Now in Psychology Today, there was an extensive study done on affairs and the researchers found that those who were unfaithful in one relationship had 3 times the odds of being unfaithful in the next, when compared to those who had not been unfaithful in the first relationship. But here's the really interesting thing. Like I mentioned earlier, the association actually goes both ways. Not only were cheaters more likely to be cheaters again, those who were cheated on were more likely to cheat again, to be cheated on again, sorry, twice as likely, in fact, than those who had never been cheated on. So if someone has had an affair and you go have another relationship, it's more likely that the next relationship, they're going to be unfaithful as well. So why is that? Well, it's incorrect to assume that you were destined, you know, to just endlessly repeat painful patterns, but there are underlying reasons why these patterns become so strong for couples while they're virtually extinct in others. So my question for you is, do you want to have a relationship free of the cheat, lie, rebound effect? Do you want to be one of the couples that are 100% honest with each other and committed, even if trust and fidelity has been broken already? So we can help you get there. Again, just leave a comment, say end affair, and I will get you that training for free. Okay? Now let's dive in here. What causes affairs? Now, why is this even important to understand what causes the affair? You can't help your partner if you don't know what's actually going on with them and why they're doing what they're doing. Understanding infidelity actually helps you to create fidelity. I want fidelity. So it's really important to understand what creates that fidelity. In order to have fidelity in a relationship, it requires safety. So commitment and safety are intertwined, right? In a marriage, you are ultimately asking one question, and you might be doing that in a few ways. You're asking, will you make a lifelong commitment to me? Am I the love of your life? Am I your lifelong journey? Am I your soulmate? Anything along those lines, right? We can only commit long-term to things that feel safe though. And right now you are likely looking for commitment from your spouse. If you know our PATH process, you know that commitment is actually the last piece in restoring the relationship. If you push for commitment too soon, what happens? It backfires. So there's things that we need to do before we get their commitment again. So you want to tell them, or you want them to tell you that you are the one for them. You want them to say, I'm going to leave the affair partner. I only want to be with you. You deeply fulfill me. All of that yumminess, right? But there are 2 problems here. After an affair, you probably don't feel safe, right? They broke your trust. You wonder if they will be unfaithful again. You feel afraid, hurt, angry, and betrayed, right? You probably reacted poorly to some of those feelings, right? That's what we talk about in all the things of what not to do. We can't help but act out of instinct when we have a trauma. And an affair is a huge trauma. We tend to go to fight, flight, or freeze mode. We tend to demand, blame, criticism, contempt, right? We go into begging, pleading, manipulating, freezing, all of those things, right? And so we do react poorly to these hurts and to this betrayal. Now, the second thing that we need to understand here, not only do you not feel safe, they don't feel safe. Why don't they feel safe? They broke the trust in the relationship and they start to wonder whether they can commit. They wonder whether they can ever be happy again. They wonder if they can be forgiven. It astounds me how often when I'm talking to the person that committed the affair or is having the affair, they are actually wanting to get back at some level. They just have no idea how. They don't know how they can come back from what they did. They have so much guilt and so much shame over it. Sometimes they don't, but more often than not, they do. And if they don't, then there's deeper other things going on there about why they're like apathetic about it, right? They fear not being able to go back to a good place in the relationship. And that fear is reinforced by any of our negative behaviors, right? Our anger, our fear, our hurt, our contempt, our criticism, our blaming, the things that we do. And that's why it becomes a really big issue, right? When an affair happens, neither the betrayed nor the betrayer feels secure. Now, why should it matter if the betrayer feels secure or insecure? Why is this important? Shouldn't the person who betrayed the relationship feel sorry, feel guilty, be punished? Right? Yes and no. So the relationship can only be repaired if understanding is given to both parties, including the betrayed spouse. There needs to be actions taken by the betraying spouse to heal the damage done. Coming to these goals through shame, guilt, anger, or punishment leads to a further breakdown in trust and safety. Further breakdowns in trust and safety lead to more affairs or more issues down the road, which is not what you guys want, right? So I'm going to share with you what we've found about leaning out and leaning in a relationship. So when someone's world gets turned upside down, everyone has a drive to seek stability. We want to feel safe. We want to protect ourselves, right? We go into self-preservation mode. So in close relationships, you could see wild swings in behavior because of this. Let me know if you've seen some wild swings in your partners or your behavior, right? Let me know in the chat what's going on. I'll make sure that I handle your specific situation. So it's useful, we kind of put this into leaning out and leaning in behavior, some of these swings that we see. So when we lean out, it's a bid to shut out pain. Leaning out behaviors can look like silence, stonewalling, distancing themselves, coldness, shutting down, refusing to answer questions, okay? Leaning in behaviors are actually a bid to get a need met. And these look like anger, demands, defensiveness, attempts at sex or romance, attempts at connection, attempts at conversation, blame, okay, and questioning your loyalty. This is what we could see happening with your spouse. All of this behavior is actually about one thing. It's seeking a safe, secure position. So some examples here. An angry person may simply want to feel heard so they cannot feel so discounted. Someone who is silent may be just so overwhelmed with discomfort or guilt that it becomes easier to just say nothing. Communication only shuts down when communication becomes unpredictable or unsafe. You can get someone to reopen the channels of communication if communication is made to feel safe, even eventually on topics that are sensitive, like the affair. So, now I want to go into the three-step process to end an affair and heal. One of the most important things is to recognize that we have to take it slow to go fast. I know that for like so many of you, you're like, I just want to get them to end the affair. I want to have them promise to come back to me. I want that connection. I want that commitment. I want it so bad, right? It's so scary and so hard to be where we are. I understand. But the truth is that if you push for their connection and commitment too soon, it will backfire. I say this over and over and over, but I really want you to understand this, okay? An affair is where we take the path process, but we make very specific considerations into how we go about things, okay? And so one of the first things that we want to do is make sure that you are working on healing yourself and healing the relationship by making sure that you are in a good, safe place yourself. So the first step that we do with our clients is helping them identify their own pain. How has this affected you? What happens when you find out about infidelity is that your expectations for your marriage, they've been violated, right? You feel resistance towards dealing with problems that feel out of control. Your sense of security, both physically and emotionally, have been torn away. You may feel some amount of guilt or shame or blame towards yourself. You may be experiencing terrible grief. Your self-esteem may be impacted. You may be embarrassed that your spouse has cheated on you. All the emotional turmoil may have an impact on even your physical health, right? You may not be able to sleep at night. You may be feeling sick in your stomach all the time. You can't focus or concentrate at work. So in short, your world has been turned upside down, right? Let me know in the comments. Does that sound familiar? I get it. So it's natural for you to react because you may be feeling lots of anger, even depressive symptoms, hopelessness, loss of sleep, loss of appetite, loss of drive, even PTSD symptoms like heightened anxiety, hypervigilance, right? Checking on your phone all the time, constantly, you know, wondering where your spouse is. And because of all of these symptoms, you could lash out at your spouse. You could go into any of those behaviors, the demanding, the pleading, the manipulating, the shutting out, you know, the freezing. You might even have a shorter fuse with your kids, your coworkers, people in your life, right? And you are experiencing overwhelm and stress. All right. So your natural, like, things that you might do that might be tics or oddities or some negative traits that you have, some negative habits might be on display more than normal. If you have a tendency to drink or to overeat or to, you know, spend or to be really short and impatient, those may be like really broadcasted right now and more than normal. And this is actually normal. So healing yourself is important when we're trying to fix the affair. So if you yourself are reacting, it will be extremely difficult to reach out to your spouse and to build that connection and eventually get their commitment like you're wanting. It becomes physically more difficult to demonstrate empathy. Your reactions may be pushing your spouse further away when what is needed for everyone is to feel much more secure. So I want you to know, take a deep breath with me. I'm seeing in the chat, yes, yes, 100% accurate. It's like you're reading my mind. Yeah. Your reactions are understandable. I want you to give yourself some grace. You are going through a special level of hell right now, okay? But your reactions, while they're understandable, they are also your responsibility. So even though it is your spouse and their choices, the affair that they're having that has put you into this position, there are absolutely things that you can do to make it so both of you can heal. So what we need to do is identify your feelings. And this can help you be more aware, prevent bigger reactions from happening, and give you something to work on, which is going to give you a sense of control. All right. You guys may know I'm not a fan of work on yourself to save your marriage. I am a fan of becoming the best version of yourself that you can and helping yourself heal so that you can be in a calm, good space to then do the things that you need to do to help bring your spouse back, to help draw them back to you. Okay. And then we want to identify what is actually wanted. This can help give you direction and a sense of control. And it, again, gives you something to work on so that instead of feeling like nothing can be done, you're going to be like, this is where I want to go. And this is what I want to have happen in our relationship. And then ultimately, there's an element of finding acceptance and getting support. So some things to keep in mind as we're identifying our feelings is that infidelity is traumatic and your feelings are natural. And there are typical reactions from those feelings of betrayal no longer serve you well, right? So you need to be able to feel and express your feelings in a healthy manner. And we give exercises and guided prompts in the training that I'm going to send you guys. And I want you to go and do those because it's really important that you empty all the things that are going inside of your head and inside of your heart in a healthy manner. Sometimes that can be talking it out with a friend, with an expert, with a therapist. Sometimes it's journaling. Sometimes it's screaming it into a pillow. I mean, you know, it's just about getting the yuck out and identifying how you're really feeling so that then you can be aware. And then going on into finding acceptance. So how you are probably thinking and feeling right now, right? You might be experiencing a lot of guilt, a lot of shame, a lot of embarrassment, a lot of anger, loss of self-confidence. You might think that everything that is happening is your fault. Anyone here feel like that? It's all my fault. Now note, their choice to cheat is absolutely their responsibility. But you might think that you are to blame for the affair. And some of your reactions may not be helpful, but your spouse's actions are their responsibility. A lot of your feelings likely revolve around assigning blame. Now, what is the purpose of blame, right? Blame gives us a sense of control, especially when we feel a great lack of control and a lack of security. It gives us a sense of security and control. So if we say, you know, my spouse is to blame, then you know who needs to work on to fix things. It's your spouse. You're not to blame. You don't have any accountability, nothing you need to do. That gives you a sense of security and blame that this entire issue is over here and I am the victim, right? It gives a sense of predictability, but it also pushes people away and leads to unhealthy behaviors, right? And the same thing is true if you're blaming yourself for everything. You're trying to take control of the situation so that you can fix it. But the reality is that you both have things that you are accountable for and things that you are not accountable for. So why does there need to be acceptance here? Acceptance allows you to move on. Being able to rationally explain motives, intentions, and actions gives a sense of control or security. It is what allows you to stop worrying and to focus more on a healthy direction. If you approach yourself or the relationship in terms of who is to blame, yourself or your spouse, you're not going to get anywhere. If you're going to make progress with yourself, you need to be able to accept your reactions and actions for what they are. If you guys remember, we've talked about the drama triangle before. If you haven't seen that podcast episode and you want me to share it with you, it's amazing. Just saying. But just comment drama triangle and I'll make sure I send it to you afterwards. Well, the drama triangle is where you've got the persecutor, the person that's doing the harm or inflicting their will on others. And they usually do that towards the victim. And the victim is saying, I'm not to blame. It's not my fault. It's their fault. No one helps me, blah, 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 you know, the victim role. And then we've got the hero that tries to rescue everything and make everything right. What takes us out of this drama triangle, because the drama triangle is only going to give you more drama and more tension. It will not lead to healing. All right. This is something that we all have in our relationship at some level or not, right? But more often than not, we do. What takes us out of the drama triangle is by first taking accountability and accepting that things are what they are. And that's going to take us out of the drama triangle. And then we can go into this next part here, which is where we get to be a creator. We get to be creative about the solutions. And then we get to collaborate with others, our spouse, on those solutions. So, all right, being creative is really, let's see what we actually want here. Okay. So let's talk about mindset and the power of intention. So your feelings and your actions may make sense, but they don't always serve us well. Agreed? Right? So you are much more likely to get where you want to go if you actually know where that is. Some of you have joined me in the masterclasses that I do, and that's the first exercise I have you do. Where do you want to be in 3 months, in 6 months, a year from now? If you don't decide, who will? Who is going to choose it for you? No one else can choose where you are going to go. Only you get to decide that. When you know where you're going to go, then the way or the how to get there will reveal itself. It will make itself manifest. The right people, the right circumstances will come along. And you might get blown off course a little bit, but you will get back on course because you know where you're going. All right. And there is a really important saying that you should focus more on what you're wanting. Focus more on what you're desiring than what you are wanting to avoid. So if you're wanting to avoid your spouse cheating, you cannot focus on all the things that you're trying to avoid. I'm avoiding divorce. I'm avoiding affair. I'm avoiding them hurting me. I'm avoiding this conversation. I'm avoiding all the things and all the hurt with my kids, and you're ruminating and thinking all these things are worrying and stressing you out. You dwell on those things, you will only give them more energy and more momentum. So focus on what you are desiring, okay? Where do you really want to go, okay? So thinking about where you want to be, how you want to have this resolved. Like, how do you want to look back on this at the end of your life, right? So even if you aren't immediately sure of how to get what you want or where you want to go, just being clear on what you want can help you identify the paths to get there, all right? You may feel like you want to be angry, but more likely it is that you are taking control of what the anger affords you, right? Being angry can allow you to relieve feelings by shifting blame elsewhere. Being angry can help you avoid feeling overwhelmed by what you may need to change. It may help you to voice some of your feelings or help you feel heard. Sometimes what we think we want isn't what we actually want. So you may take comfort in anger or blame or self-doubt or criticism. There's almost always a reasonable and healthy desire underneath all the negative emotions and reactions. So make sure that you are focusing on the positive desires, the things that you really want to have. All right. So coming from a positive perspective from your spouse, you're going to start to see more cooperation, more understanding, and you will feel a greater level of acceptance for yourself. So here's a little bit of an exercise. I want you to write down on a paper or comment in the chat right now, what healthy and positive things do you really want? How do you personally want to feel? How would you prefer to react when you are feeling negatively? What is your end goal? What do you want for yourself, regardless of what is happening in the relationship? Take a minute and put those into the chat. How do you personally want to feel? How would you prefer to react when you're feeling negatively? What is your end goal? What do you want for your relationship, regardless of what is happening in the relationship? Okay. When you get to a healthier, more secure, more calm place within yourself, because you know what you want and you're committed to get there, that is like becoming a rock in a storm. And I have seen this happen countless times with our clients, and it is my very favorite thing. Like in the entire world, this is my favorite thing, is when I see a person transform. And I can't help but get a little emotional about this, sorry. It's like Valentine's and all the things, right? When you go from being so deflated, so hurt, so angered, so betrayed, so heartbroken, you feel completely disrespected. You have no self-confidence. You have no self-worth. Maybe you feel like you have no self-control. Your emotions are all over the place. Your reactions and your behaviors are all over the place. This is where most of our clients are when they come to us. And I have so much compassion and empathy because we're all just doing the best we can, right? And I see these clients that are in this state, and then I see them choose their own happiness. And I see them choose to be who they're really meant to be, to say, I am a rock in a storm. And you see the storm raging all around them. Because let's be honest, like, this is hell and it's a raging storm. And what your spouse is doing is like totally unpredictable often, right? And it feels so insecure. And you're like, I'm safe because I know who I am and I know where I'm going. When you get to that place, then all of the things happening outside of you lose their weight over you and they lose their ability to throw you off course and to make you react in low value ways or to react out of anger or any of those things. It helps you become who you're really meant to be. And it's one of the most beautiful things that I see. And I'm so grateful I get to witness that transformation and have clients say, you know, It's not about what my spouse does anymore. They're going to do what they're going to do. I know who I am and I know what I want and what matters most to me. And it doesn't matter what they do because it's not about me anymore. What they do is not about me. What they do is about them. And I can have empathy for them and I can even have compassion for them, but I know that I'm safe no matter what. When you get to that kind of a place, then you're no longer in the fight, flight, or freeze mode. You're no longer reacting out of emotion, right? But you are in a state of centeredness and calmness so that you can handle the challenges that are in front of you. And to me, that's worth everything. No matter what happens in the relationship, I know that the client has won for life when they know who they really are and they get to that place of being calm and centered. Not that they're there all the time, because it's impossible. We are human beings. But these are the things that we teach you, is how to process through those emotions to get to a place where you feel like you're okay no matter what happens. And not only do you feel so much better, but you're actually a lot more attractive to your spouse. We talked a lot about how commitment and fidelity requires this feeling of safety. Right? And right now you're not feeling safe and neither is your spouse. So what we want to do as we work with you through this process is to reduce the tension between you. Okay. And a lot of that reducing the tension comes from stopping all the behaviors that were creating the tension on your part, right? Identifying, taking accountability for them. I'm not going to demand. I'm not going to blame. I'm not going to manipulate. I'm not going to have contempt or criticism. I'm not going to beg and plead. I'm not going to freeze out of fear, right? All those things are only going to make the situation worse. But you are going to learn the few things that you need to do that are going to help to open up their heart and the ability for this situation to heal again, okay? And that to me is worth everything. I cannot say it enough. But this is why my heart is in this work, is because I see so many couples struggling and I see so much heartbreak. And the reality is you can learn these things and you can create a different reality with your spouse. So when we reduce the tension, that allows the space for things to start to heal, for communication to start to happen. We don't talk about the affair usually right off the bat, unless there's a good reason why in your specific situation that needs to be so. What we want to do is make communication safe. That needs to be the first thing that we create some safety around and we reduce the tension around. So many times I hear from you guys here and I see some comments, right? They won't talk to me. They won't talk to me about the affair. They totally shut down when the other person's around. And so how do I communicate with them? How do I even start to end the affair if they won't even talk to me? So that's the first thing we want to do, is create some safety around communication so that they will feel safe to open up and you will feel safe to open up. As we create that safety in the communication, then we're able to go and talk about more and more, you know, scarier issues, including the affair. All right. Now, when we're navigating the storm's not going to end right away. I'm not going to promise you that, because affairs are rough. It's hard to know what to do. It's difficult to know whether your actions will help or hurt your chances. There's a lot of conflicting advice out there, right? So understanding the effects of different actions is what we're going to talk about now in navigating the storm. So some main problems that we have during an affair is that your spouse may still be involved with their affair partner. If that's you, let me know, because the way that we handle that situation is different than if they've already left the affair partner and now you're wanting to heal. Your spouse may downplay the affair, like in the couple that I knew and was so close to me, right? They downplayed the affair. They might invalidate how you feel or may not want to listen to you. You are struggling with your own emotions, like we talked about, right? Your spouse may continue to reach out towards you or want things from you. Sometimes they may still want to have sex with you while they're having sex with someone else. These are all things that need to be navigated with care. Maybe your children or your family are starting to ask questions, and all of these problems need to be addressed. How? Well, each one has to be handled, again, with care. And that is why we do the one-on-one coaching with you guys. So if you want to have a free conversation with us about coaching, then just leave a comment, say, Heal Marriage. That'll be the tagline for that one. Heal Marriage. And I'll reach out to you to have a completely private one-on-one conversation about how to handle those things, how to have your partner want to end the affair, just like we've had with so many of our clients. And again, how to start with that end in mind. Where do you really want to go? How do we focus more on that than everything else that you don't want, right? And a big part of this is really learning how to set healthy boundaries that heal. I don't have time to go into healthy boundaries like I was hoping. So I'm going to have another comment here. Comment boundaries if you want to get our replay on how to set healthy boundaries. And boundaries are needed here in order for you to create more of that safety and that security. We want to create safety and security around communication. And we want to create safety and security around the relationship and how they are behaving. If they're continuing to have an affair, you need to put in healthy boundaries that are going to heal the relationship. They will not push your partner further away. They will actually, if you understand what boundaries are, and again, I see lots of comments coming in, boundaries, boundaries, boundaries. Awesome. I will absolutely send you that replay. What happens here is it creates that safety and ability for things to start to restore and heal the trust. So what we want to do, our main goals here, and I want you guys to put these in the chat. I want to make sure that they're sinking into your neurons, okay? Create safety. Number one, create safety. Heal yourself and have respect for yourself, okay? And then open up communication. All right, so create safety. Respect and heal yourself, and then be able to open up communication. Those are the first three things. I want to make sure you're letting those sink in, right? All right. Now the third step here, and I'm only going to have a few minutes to go over this, but this is where we want to repair and recover by preventing further damage and building a solid foundation. And here is where we want to end the affair for good. So after we've created some safety, we're working on healing ourselves, helping us become a rock in a storm. As we're opening up and creating safety around communication, as we're creating safety by putting in healthy boundaries, then it becomes time to talk about ending the affair if it hasn't already ended. Now, there's a right and a wrong way to end an affair, okay? So what happens when they agree to end the affair, right? You've opened up communication, things are feeling safe, and they're like, okay, I'm ready to end the affair. Here's the wrong way, okay? If the betraying partner does it on their own, if they do it completely on their own, this does not provide assurance or trust to the person that they betrayed. If the breakup is done in person, the affair partner will try to convince the betraying partner to stay with them. So we often do not do this actually in person. Explanation and reason are given for the breakup to the affair partner. We do not need to make the other person feel good about the breakup. We don't need to justify to ourselves why they're ending the affair. The breakup should feel final and decisive. This invites dialogue in terms of reasons to break up or not. So the betraying partner wants to remain friends or maintain communication. No, not at all. You cannot even consider this. It's just dumb, okay? They are probably just friends to begin with. So it needs to be nothing. If you do have to see each other because you work at the same place, or, you know, there's reasons why you have to continue seeing each other, then even more boundaries need to be put in place to protect this relationship, okay? So here's the right way to end an affair. The betrayed partner should be involved in the planning process, meaning that they help write the email or the text, or they're on the phone if it's done over the phone. And the betrayed spouse should be involved in every single step along the way, including present for the actual breakup, involved in actually pressing the send button, listening in during the entire phone call. And this helps to build trust that the affair is final. This does not mean that the faithful spouse actually speaks to the affair partner. It means that they're more involved in the process. And this tells the affair partner that the unfaithful partner was coerced and encourages them to resume contact, which is not what we want, right? So as we are ending the affair, the note or the email should be brief and clear. We cannot talk anymore. I've decided to work on my marriage. Do not contact me. I will not respond. You need to respect that. Plan for, and then, you know, you're going to have to plan on how to handle further contact attempts because it's going to happen. by cutting off all contact, blocking the fair partner on social media, blocking cell phones, and plans to change jobs if they're working together, if possible. All right. And then if the affair is ended, there are three phases that we then go into. I'm giving you the high level overview here. Okay. The three phases are atoning, attuning, and attaching. Attoning is where we need to make amends. We need to heal the damage that is done. Attuning is all about understanding what is happening inside both of you and having empathy and ability to safely share so that you can safely heal things. And then attachment is where you go into deepening the levels of connection. And then finally, we get to commitment. So that is it in a nutshell, but I hope that you can see that the right and wrong way to end an affair, this only happens, you only get to this place where your spouse wants to end the affair if you have done the previous steps correctly. If you've helped reduce the tension, if you've helped to open up communication, if you've helped yourself to come to a calm, centered place and you're responsible for your own emotions and you're setting those healthy boundaries to create safety in the relationship. All right. I'm going to go see if there are any questions. Yes, you guys can have a copy of this. There's a replay happening. Yeah, it will be posted here in the group as well as on all of our podcast channels. All right. Yeah, definitely some healthy boundaries. Like I'm seeing some comments like she's introduced him to our kids, despite that being something her sister did that upset her so much. Yeah, so definitely healthy boundaries around the kids, around communication, about having sex or not having sex. Like what is going to feel safe and good to everyone involved? I'm seeing here, I want to be calm and loving towards everyone. I want to have a loving, open relationship with my wife where nothing can come in between us. I want to be happy, calm, faithful, and loyal and loved. That feeling would be amazing. I want to react calmly when feeling negatively. I want to feel energetic. My end goal is to build a new relationship with her. Beautiful. All right. Yeah, and you're very welcome. So please know that there is more hope than you realize if there is an affair happening, if you do things the right way. It does need to be handled with a great amount of care. And that is why I say you need an expert that knows how to diagnose exactly what's going on, how to prescribe the right treatment plan and help you to get there. So if you want more help with this, again, just leave that comment, say end affair, and I will send you that free training, or you can reach out to us for one-on-one coaching where we will guide you through this entire process. My heart and my appreciation and my love goes out to you. I have seen amazing turnarounds happen in marriages, and I'm so grateful and inspired by those that are willing to work on the relationship even after their spouse was unfaithful. And I'm so grateful that I see them now and I see how happy they are. And I see how they've resolved those same patterns of infidelity. So that it's no longer part of their reality. It is inspiring to me. And I cannot wait to see your story and hear how your relationship turned around and how grateful you are now that you have a healthy foundation to rely upon in your relationship. So thank you guys for joining me today. And next week, Mark will be back in town. Let's see. Next week, we're sharing, is there hope if my spouse says, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, or I don't love you, right? So is there hope if your spouse says they don't love you anymore? So look forward to talking with you guys about that.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.